You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, are you looking for a new podcast to listen to? Something a little on the geeky side, but lots and lots of fun with some crazy dudes? Well, have I got something for you. It's called the Vitamin Geek Podcast. I'm the host, Corey Keelan, and I'm here with my friends, Eric Williams.
What's up?
Patrick Sykes.
Greetings, everyone.
And Michael Zippy Miller.
Hey there.
We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. Horror movies, science fiction. We love Star Wars. Who doesn't love Star Wars? If you don't like Star Wars, get the hell off of here. Check us out, man. Vitamin Geek Podcast right here on the ESO Network.
It's all part of the plan.
Hello and welcome to the Monster Sci-Fi Show Podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back to give you some sci-fi news for this week. Taking a slight little break, since I've been doing a hell of a lot of podcasting on Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman, I thought it'll be a good thing for me to do this real quick and get some sci-fi news in. And eventually, yes, I will get to do the Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice review, which I did get to see recently, but I have yet to find the time to record. And once that's done, hopefully it will be still around in the theaters and not coming onto DVDs when I finally get to do this review. Alright, so let's begin with the big three that is I'm going to be talking about. The first one, we have the name of the Kingsman's new movie. It's called Kingsman: The Golden Circle. The first thing I thought about this, I'm like, okay, I'm going to say something kind of crude, but it's like the Kingsman: The Golden Circle jerk. This is how I feel about this movie right now. And yes, I'm prejudging, but it's only because of the main character that Colin Firth is coming back, which apparently, if you watch the movie, he was dead. He got shot dead, point blank, and he's coming back. So this got me thinking, you know, if you're a Monty Python fan of the Holy Grail, you know, there was a very beginning scene where Eric Idle says, "Bring out your dead." And then this one guy that John Cleese is bringing out, which I guess is his father, is like, "I'm not dead yet." So it's like, bumps him over the head and knocks him out and throws him on the pole with the rest of the people just to get rid of him. But that's exactly what it is. It's like, we've seen this too many times, and I'm not saying that this is what's going to happen, but let me go down a list of things that already has happened that gets people really riled up. Hey, remember when Agent Coulson died in the Avengers only to come back with the help of Tahiti and comes back as an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I know some people like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's great. But my problem, and I'm sure a lot of people have the exact same feeling, is why can't Coulson go back to the Avengers and say, "Hey, I'm still alive. What's the big mystery? What's the big secret? I think there was a big mistake. Hey, what about Loki? How many times that he has gone bye-bye and only to come back later on?" Let's not leave out sci-fi. Remember Spock in Star Trek 2? He died and he came back in Star Trek 3. Of course, now we have Independence Day Resurgence. The Dr. Okun, which is a Brent Spiner character, which we thought was dead, supposedly he's now alive in the trailer. Then, of course, we have Darth Maul, which, in fairness, he was technically dead because he was sliced in half in The Phantom Menace, which is Star Wars Episode 1, but does come back in the Star Wars Clone Wars series. So if you haven't seen it, I advise you to do that. Plus, he was also in the comics, too. They brought him back the exact same way, which I love. And I thought that's a very cool thing to do. But still, he was dead. He was brought back. Remember Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer being killed off? Hey, look who's going to be on Angel now, Spike. Oh, let's not forget Ripley. Alien 3, she was killed off. Guess what? Alien Resurrection, Alien 4, brought back as a clone. And recently, hey, let's not forget Arrow. Because I watch Arrow. We have Sarah Lance, who played the Black Canary, played by Katie Lutz. Who, guess what? Was brought back from the dead. Now she's the White Canary on Legends of Tomorrow. So, who took over the mantle of the Black Canary? Laurel Lance. If you haven't seen this last week's episode, sorry, but it's going to be a spoiler alert. But she dies. I don't believe this is for 1 minute going to be an actual death, because it was kind of bogus in how they filmed it. But she's dead. And I'm sure she's going to be coming back at the end of the season. And if not, good for you for sticking with keeping someone dead. But even Arrow himself last year, halfway through the season, was thought dead because Ra's al Ghul stabbed him, killed him, he fell off a cliff. Guess what? He's still alive. So why not bring Harry Hart back, which is a Colin Firth character? Okay, well, let's go back to the movie itself. Remember, in the very beginning, we have Eggsy's dad, who was still kind of a little green around the gills, but he sacrificed himself and allowed himself, well, not allowed himself to be killed. No one allows themselves to be killed, but he got killed during this mission, which, you know, Harry went to his wife at that time to say that this had happened, he sacrificed for the greater good, and I'm going to give you this medallion, and whenever you need me, you just call that number, blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't come back from the dead. So why is Harry coming back? The only pass I'm going to give it, and this is just, it's even a stretch, if we're going to see Harry, it's going to have to be more than likely in a flashback sequence. I hate the idea of flashbacks, but that's okay. The other option, and this is even the worst option, is that playing around with the events of the first movie, kind of like with Batman vs. Superman, where you have a different perspective of the exact, you have a different perspective of the exact same scene, where it's Harry keeping an eye over Eggsy during whatever he was doing, but that is by himself, but it's him watching. I don't know how exciting that would be or what's the purpose of that, but honestly, it goes back to the whole, again, I don't want to be crude, but the whole circle jerk. I don't like this. We've been going around and around and around doing the whole dead thing and not getting, so to speak, a happy ending after all this. Because it's not fun. I would have been happy just let Eggsy be the next phase of his life, becoming the Kingsman, you know, and let him screw up and find another mentor. Or don't make us believe that, oh, you killed my evil twin brother, you know. Jesus. Again, Lore was killed and was brought back from Star Trek Next Generation. Sorry, I forgot to add him to the list. But yeah, I don't want to see this happen. And if we listen to the podcast before, we talked about how sequels by the exact same director really struggled to be decent movies. So, James Gunn is doing Guardians of the Galaxy 2, okay, but Matthew Vaughn is also doing this. Both great movies, great energy, amazing stuff that I've never seen before. Can they pull off a second win? It's gutsy. It makes sense from a studio point of view. You got a good movie. You had a great director. Who else is going to know that product? But many times, it gets lost in a shuffle with trying to it tries to outdo itself and forgets what made the original and the concept an amazing piece of material to work with. So, and going back to kind of like 10 Cloverfield Lane, you know, you can do a completely different story, but you, again, the reason why 10 Cloverfield Lane worked is because you got a different director, although you're doing this from a different point of view. Again, I brought that up before. So, again, I think it's a chance that I hope it doesn't blow up in their faces. I want it to win. I want this movie to succeed. But, again, the track record, I've always seen sequels just suck, especially with the exact same director. All right. So, let me tell you something on the next thing. I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion. I've watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Tannhauser Gate. All those moments will be lost in time, like tears in rain. So, one of my depressing quotes ever in life that is still a part of me is from Blade Runner. Why did I bring that up? Well, Dave Bautista is, this past week he had a picture of himself, black and white, holding an origami unicorn. That origami unicorn, with my vast knowledge, pointed into one direction, was Blade Runner. Because Gaff, who was the partner for Deckard, which is the Harrison Ford character, would make these origami creatures, and one of them was the origami unicorn. So he had posted this saying that he has some exciting news, and I immediately just wrote back. It's like, this has to be Blade Runner 2. And it is. So he is now joining a great cast so far of Blade Runner 2. We have Ryan Gosling. We have Robin Wright, which I was going to go into the whole Princess Bride, you know, bow down, the Queen of Filth and all that, because it's funny, but I'm too tired right now to even go through that. So, and of course, Harrison Ford. So now we have four people that are in this movie.
But where's Rachel?
Yes, I know it's for Batman. But Rachel is the character that Sean Young had played in the first movie. So it begs the question,
where's Rachel?
There's no listing of her in IMDb. There's no rumor mill that she's going to make an appearance. Blade Runner 2, the book, which I hated, a lot of people hated. The only thing I remember lastly was that that character was in some kind of stasis chamber that Deckard would watch over her. I didn't get to finish it because I just got disgusted with the way it was written, but again, I don't know how it's going to happen. The only thing that I have vaguely what's going to happen in Blade Runner 2 is that Gosling is going to be looking for Deckard. Now, as far as Robin Wright's character, who knows? I have no idea. The only thing I can surmise with Dave's character is that he may be a replicant. He may be the sequel's Roy Batty version. I don't think he's going to be as eloquent with that quote that I mentioned just a moment ago. But, you know, Dave's been kind of like a cool guy so far. And I, again, we've seen Guardians. You love Drax. So, of course, he's now doing the second movie right now, which is in production. He is going to be in Blade Runner 2, which, again, is not going to happen for some time, but I think 2018 is the date for that release. The other news is that he also is going to be doing playing the Kurgan, which is the Highlander character that was played originally by Clancy Brown. So, I'm all for something that does something right. I like the guy a lot. And even Mr. Hinks in Spectre, which I hated Spectre, but him, you know, I like what he does. You know, it doesn't have to be rocket brain surgery science. It's just he knows where to hit his marks, and he does that performance as well. Point A to point B, boom, you're done. And that's all you need to do. So having that and knowing what a big deal it is to be in a franchise, like, not really a franchise, but to be in a sequel for an important science fiction film as Blade Runner is a big deal. So hopefully this movie is not going to suck. But in any case, let's move on to the last part of the sci-fi news. So, recently, just the other day, Star Wars, or should I say, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, came out as a trailer. So, to help clarify, because like my cousin Ralph had a question about this, what the hell is Rogue One, or where does it fit in the timeline and all that shenanigans? Alright, so, if you remember Lucasfilms and Lucas, George Lucas, gave away all the rights to Disney. Disney was going to produce a new set of trilogies and a set of standalone movies. Now, originally, those standalone movies were going to be known as Star Wars Anthologies, but later been changed to A Star Wars Story, which is kind of hard to kind of say that without Star Wars Story. A Star Wars Story. See, it sounds much better that way. All right, so these standalone movies would be interplaced between the trilogies. So every year, either you get one of these standalone movies or you get another part of the trilogy. So we already had Episode 7. We have now coming up later this year in December, I think, is the Rogue One story. Rogue One is going to be basically taking place right before A New Hope. Now, the Rebel Alliance had stolen this, were planning to steal the Death Star plans. And this is where it started to play in my head how it's going to end. Princess Leia, who was the one who was able to hold on to the plans, is escaping from the Star Destroyers, which is beginning of Star Wars, A New Hope. What I'm starting to think is that there is going to be, or at least it has to be, a Princess Leia character at the end of the film. Let's not hope that it's like what happened to Luke Skywalker in the last Star Wars movie, that he just holds a hand out, doesn't say anything, and someone is holding out the Death Star plans and just fade to black. Really? That's how you're going to end it? It better not happen that way. I swear to God, I will burn everything down to the ground. Why? Because some men want to see the world burn. And I'm that man if they ever do that. So, let's be optimistic here that they don't. The whole point of the standalone films, Kathleen Kennedy, who is now really the head honcho looking over this whole franchise that Disney owns, was that aside from the sagas, the trilogies that they have right now for 7, 8, and 9, the whole point of the standalone was to tell a complete story within the Star Wars universe, and it could be different. So Rogue One really is kind of like a heist movie. So you can play around with different genres within the Star Wars universe. Now, of course, we're going to get Episode 8, which is currently filming. Between 8 and 9, the next Star Wars story is supposedly, or at least that's the rumor, going to be at least 80 to 90% almost confirmed, there will be a young Han Solo movie. Because casting has begun, they've, I think, gotten down to at least 3 or 4 top actors, young actors, that they want to be Han Solo, but they haven't finalized, or at least haven't really mentioned anything about the movie yet. After that, then we get the final part of the trilogy that we just had in 2019, right? And then after that, who knows what the next Star Wars story will be, but a lot of people, like me, would love to see a Boba Fett story. Have a villain from his point of view, talk about and see the world through his eyes as a bounty hunter. So that would be kind of cool. And then after that, 2021, we'll get another set of trilogies. But every year, we're going to get a Star Wars movie. Talk about an amazing time. I know they said that for the last time, but this is even more amazing. Every year to have a Star Wars movie. What do we know about this trailer? Well, right off the bat, we have a female lead. Okay, so her name is Jyn Erso. Okay, so we got a female lead. What has she done? Well, let me start off with this. She's Felicity Jones. She's done a movie called The Theory of Everything, in which she played Stephen Hawking's wife. I have not seen it, but that's on my list. She was also on a Doctor Who episode. This is going back a ways back in 2008 with Donna as the companion, in which she, the character she plays is Robina Redman, who in this storyline, the Doctor and Donna went back to the 1920s to a dinner party, and there, behold, is Agatha Christie. Yay! And she disappears. That's all I know about her. Don't know much about the character itself, except that she likes to rebel. It's in her nature. The other shot, which is amazing, I think that more than anything else blew my mind, is seeing Mon Mothma. If you have not seen Mon Mothma before, then you're not a Star Wars fan. So I urge you to go back to watch Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. She's the one that said, before the battle begun, many Bothans died to get these plans. And then she had that sad look. That woman is Mon Mothma. Exact same outfit, a younger version now of her, which I thought it was like a CGI character. It's not. This is an actress who, this is not her first time playing that character. So, Genevieve O'Reilly actually played Mon Mothma before, and you didn't see her. Why? Because she was in Revenge of the Sith, and in a deleted scene in which Padme was in a meeting with other heads of state, I guess, and Mon Mothma was there. So this was going to be the seedings or the beginnings of the rebellion. But it got cut because George Lucas says, no, this is getting way too distracting. I need to focus as this is Anakin's story. This is all about Anakin. Screw everybody else. It's about Anakin. But you can see it on the deleted scenes. And she's dead set. Perfect. So seeing her in the trailer again, wow, that was really, really cool. So we have that going. We have Gareth Edwards, who, if you've seen the last Godzilla movie, which I love tremendously, he directed a movie before then called Monsters, which I highly recommend. So what else could we add to this Star Wars Sunday? Alan Tudyk if you know him. Well, he was Wash in Firefly. We love that guy. We like him a lot. He was he was the voice of King Candy in Wreck-It Ralph. He's going to be doing an upcoming Disney film for Moana. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And, you know, we love this guy. But there's no mention about what his character is or what he's doing in the movie. So that in itself, you think that will be, ooh, what else is going to be going on? No. Because the internet sucks. And apparently, the internet is all about guys. Guys who hate seeing women in power, or in charge, or who is not a guy. So, some of the things that I came across, I'm like, okay, I guess every Star Wars will have a female lead now. Even Han Solo will be a woman in his movie. Here's another one. Ooh, another white anorexic British girl who leads a Star Wars picture. Exciting stuff. And here's another one. Another woman lead. Come on, Star Wars, be original. Actually, they are. All you douches out there who have a problem with a female lead. Or remember way back when you found out that Finn, who happens to be black, African-American, how are you going to boycott that movie? How did that work out for you? Exactly. It didn't. It gets to be the point where there are reasons that you can be upset about. Like maybe why Batman versus Superman sucks so much. Because it's not like Marvel stuff. But if you're going to complain because the woman who is going to be leading the charge is in charge, then you got something wrong with yourself. I want a universe in which my daughter can see not just someone in charge, but someone who carries the movie. Rey helped carry that movie in The Force Awakens. I want to see a Wonder Woman be in charge. And we're going to get that next year. I want to see a lot more women taking charge, taking the lead, and the men falling behind, in step, without question, without hesitation, but with respect, because they are willing to follow a leader, regardless of gender. So, I don't mean to get on my high horse or preach on my soapbox, but come on, guys. Seriously, you don't like this? Fine. Go away. Go back to your DVDs. Watch the prequels. Watch the originals. Go watch Force Awakens. But regardless, this future is going to happen. You can be on it, or you can be destroyed by it. But I'm telling you, that kind of thinking needs to change. So, that's enough of that. It just, again, it really bothers me to know that it's not an issue about this movie sucked, this movie is great, and talk about its values. But to make these kind of judgments because of someone's sex or the color of their skin is complete asinine. All right. So, sorry about that. Hopefully soon I'm going to get, like I said, to do the Batman vs. Superman movie review. I am also planning to do a gaming podcast with my cousin, Ralph, who I've been trying to get and messing off with the schedules back on my show. So I do have plans coming up, and I want you to be a part of it. So How can you do that? First off, subscribe to me on iTunes. You can find me on Stitcher. You can even find me on WordPress. You can email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. And of course, I've mentioned this before, you can find me on Instagram. I have origamis, just like that unicorn. Although, I am planning to still work on making that. Now, I'm sure if I can make an origami unicorn, silver, just like the movie, I'm sure someone's going to email me. And I'm going to thank the hell of that person who wants that. So, don't be the last one to do that. Be the first one that wants that for free. So, thank you very much for listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. Sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.